Blog Talk Radio.
I'm just so broke, you won't believe. Can't get a dollar out of me. And as far as I can see, I'm losing control like a bad disease. No, I just can't get relief. I've been shot down by the life police. Cause every day I try to rise, but I can't succeed. Can anybody find a cure for me? You can be bitter, bitter, bitter. Or you can be better, better, better. Great life gives you lemon. Now every day is like a brand new year. I throw my hands up in the air like I just don't care. I'm moonwalking down the street feeling like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, at the bottom of the gas now, I see clear. So now I laugh just a little more. I'm getting much taller than I did before. I know I'm not where I need to be, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I used to be bitter, bitter, bitter. And now I feel better, better, better. Great life gives you lemon. Instead of champagne. I would say for a reason that I can't explain. Got something new to believe in. I'm awakened again. Oh, how many miracles I have in each day. If I can just get out of my own way. Well, life gives you lemon. Instead of champagne.
I'm a man of many talents. I'm more talented than Alex Boyer. More people ask for my autograph than for him. They're not going to tell you that. That little, like, rap part, where we're like, lemonade, so dumb. It's already been done, like, a billion times. But luckily, I was in the shot, because I saved it. Redemption. You're welcome, Alex.
That was Alex Poirier, the Lemonade Song. And this is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. Excuse my voice, I've been rushing around. I'll try to get it together in a minute. But this is If Life Gives You Lemon, Make a Martini Show. And my show is for the tame and the untamed. It's serious with a dash of humor. Life is what you make it. You may be rich but unhappy or broke and happy. You may have had many adversities in your life. How many pity parties did you have? Ever went from being a victim to becoming victorious? Ever been down so low you could swing your legs on a dime? Do you have a sense of humor? Ever laughed at yourself? What is your overall view of life? Want to vent or just have something to get off your chest? If you answer yes to one of these questions, this show is for you. On my show, you get free exposure if you're a business owner, starting a business, author, expert, or just want to share information of importance. I invite you to come on as a guest and let's chop it up. Sorry, there'll be no discussing religion or politics. If you're interested in being a co-host or a guest, email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Again, that address is gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Good evening, everybody, and like I said, welcome to the show. I know a lot of people are in quarantine. Some of you may be alone, or you may be home with your family, your kids driving you crazy because they're out of school. But this is the time to get things straightened out and, you know, do different things. And I've made a list of things for you to do if you choose to. But it's not something that I'm telling everybody to do, but it's just a little list that I made up. And some of them on here you may appreciate. And if you don't, you know, do your thing like you've been doing these past few weeks that you've been in quarantine. And hopefully this will be over with soon. But the way things are going, it doesn't look like it's going to be anytime soon. And I'm not trying to predict anything, but, you know, it's just too much other things going on, too much controversy going on about doing this and doing that, and people not listening to the precautionary measures that they should take. And, you know, it's just something that we all would have to be willing to participate in as far as when they say be under quarantine. And I think even some essential workers, you know, is they need to switch up the time or something, because they're out there risking their lives doing whatever it is they're doing, the policemen, firemen. I know they have to be out there, the hospital staff and, you know, some stores and things of the sort. But if you can't afford to take off, okay, sorry about that. There was an issue and I was dropped from the studio for a moment, but I don't think that I have to repeat everything that I just said, because hopefully you got that information. But like I said, I did make a list of things for people to do while they were in quarantine. If you're in quarantine alone, you know, there are things that you can do, opposed to if you're in quarantine with your family, your children driving you crazy, husband driving you crazy because you just hadn't spent that time, you know, because of doing your daily other routines, such as getting up, going to work, coming home tired, cooking, going to bed, doing the same thing every day, in and out. So now you have the time to get to know what your children have been doing in school, or to find out, you know, if school has been serving them fully, and, you know, they're getting their right education. And, you know, there's so many other things that you can do now because you have nothing but the time to do it. Stop worrying about everything and start praying about everything, because worrying is not going to get you anywhere but stressed out, cut your life expectancy a little shorter. So, you know, keep your head up, you know, keep your spirits up, and just remember that there's one person that got all of our backs, and that's God. For those who believe and trust and know him, know that. I'm going to start reading the things that I had prepared, you know, for people to do while they're in quarantine. Number one, pray. Number two, if you are a hobbyist with unfinished projects, work on them and complete the one project that is most important, then move on from that project to another project. Number three, pray. Okay. Number four, get your spring cleaning done. We're getting ready to go into the summer months, but if you hadn't done your spring cleaning because you were busy working and, you know, doing the things that you normally do before the virus came upon us, you can get your spring cleaning done. I know I got mine done because I was in here working like a Hebrew. I'm telling you, I used to, you know, I would clean up, but as far as like spring cleaning and moving this and doing that. I've never done that before until this virus came, because I'm telling you, I would dust around things, wouldn't dust under nothing, but I'm moving things, dust under things, over things, through things. You know, I just was doing it because I just, you know, occupying that time. Number five, pray. Number six, start a journal from the day you heard about the coronavirus and the first day of quarantine. You know, keep a journal of the things that you did and how you felt and, you know, what you're going through. And, you know, just keep a journal of things so when you can, you know, refer to it if a situation like this should ever happen again. Because it, trust and believe, it did happen almost 103 years ago. And I'll get into that as well. Okay, we're on number seven, pray. Number eight, read books. Any book that you haven't read or you started reading, you can finish reading it. And pick up that Bible. Start reading the Bible if you never read it or you have it on your nightstand or wherever. Pick that up as well. It is a book and has the world's greatest author. Number nine, pray. Okay. Number 10, make group calls or FaceTime friends. Number 11, pray. Number 12, now this may sound crazy, but if you're alone by yourself, talk to yourself. You know, entertain yourself. You know, laugh, have a little party with yourself. Just, you know, don't shut down because you are alone and feel that you have no one to talk to, you know, because if you do your group calls or FaceTime calls and things like that, and then you feel that you still are not satisfied with that, talk to yourself, you know. Number 13, pray. Number 14, go for a walk before the curfew if you're not on a if you're not an essential worker, you know, go for a walk. Number 15, pray. Number 16, form new habits. If you ever wanted to give up, stop smoking, now's a good time because you can, you know, you're not supposed to go out. So stay in the house as much as you can and, you know, just focus on doing other things. You know, if you wanted to start a scrapbook or, you know, something, whatever it is that you wanted to do or wanted to change in your life, change that up. Form new habits. Number 17, pray. Number 18, make a daily list of things to do. And every time you finish doing one thing, cross it out. You don't have to do all your little lists in one day. You can say, like, if you want to paint a room or if you want to lay some carpet down or wash the windows even. You know, you don't have to wash the whole house in one day. You know, you can say, well, I'll do it Monday, Tuesday, whatever. But make a daily list of things to do. Number 19, pray. Number 20, remember, God is in control, and this too shall pass. Number 21, refer to number 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 15, 17, and 19. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And I put, you know, pray after each one of those things that I put down for you to do is because, number one, you have to show some gratitude, first of all, for God letting you live through this plague that we're going through. Not only this plague, but any other heartache you've been through or any type of trauma you've been through. You have to thank God for that, for anything. And because sometimes, even when I go to the bathroom, I thank God for letting me have my my daily rituals that I do have in the bathroom. You know, for anything, And it's a good time now is to develop a relationship with God if you don't already have a relationship with Him. Because guess what? He is in control. He will make the decision when all this stuff is over with. And the reason why these things are happening is to bring us closer to Him. Stop depending on Trump. Stop depending on this one and that one, saying they're going to do this, they're going to do that. But as you can see, even through these hard times now, they're still bickering and going through whatever it is they're going through, because still listening to man. One is saying the quarantine will be up this date, the quarantine will be up that date. How do they know that? They don't know. They can't control a virus. You know, the only thing that we can do for ourselves is try to protect ourselves from it by obeying the law when they say, stay in the house, stay 6 feet apart from people, don't let people cough on you, sneeze on you, or get too close to you to spread the virus. Those are things that you need to be obeying. And if you don't, you will suffer the consequences. It's like the boy that was down at the spring break. He running around talking about, I ain't going to get it. I ain't scared. I'm out here to party and this and that. A few days later, what? He was in the hospital. Got the virus. But you have to follow the rules. And you also need to be more educated when it comes to wearing those gloves and those masks. Because guess what? You're supposed to change those gloves frequently. You can't go put on a pair of gloves in the morning, get up, go out, go to Walmart, pushing a cart around, driving your car, going to your friend's house, doing this, doing that, and you had them gloves on all day now, all day. Then when you go and get yourself something to eat, you still got those gloves on. You open your straw with those gloves on, putting your drink, picking your food. I mean, come on. You have to change. When you go to Walmart, do whatever it is you're doing in Walmart, change your gloves when you leave that store. And stop throwing these gloves all over the street. I've seen gloves all in parking lots. And why are you doing that? That's just keeping that virus alive. And it's also going to be around as long as you keep doing things that are contrary to getting rid of it. Your mask, the same thing. You cannot wear the same mask day in and day out. You can't do that. You have to change your mask frequently, or just don't wear anything, you know, because that way when you take that mask off, especially if you take it off with when you took your gloves off and you take your mask off, who's to say that virus isn't on the front of that mask? You take it off, put it in the trash. Don't wash your hands when you feel, just because you had those gloves on, that nothing's going to happen. You're clean or whatever. But no, be very careful wearing them gloves and masks to get a false sense of security if you don't do it right. Remember, don't go into Walmart touching any and everything in that store and then come out and get in your car, opening your food or whatever with them same gloves on. Because that's, you know, that's a way to spread it as well. You know, so if you are doing that, don't do that. And if you don't have the vinyl gloves to wear or protective gloves to wear, make sure you wash your hands or take some sanitizer with you. Take those little bottles of sanitizer when you come out of wherever you're at, sanitize your hands, you know. But please don't think that you can wear a mask and gloves all day long, the same pair. It does not work like that. It doesn't. So if you think it do, keep doing it and see what happens. You may not get it, but you can definitely, somebody else can get it from the fact of you not being cautious and conscious about how you're using the gloves and the mask. Also, there's so many other things that this virus has caused people to go through. There, even now, there is a surge in people buying guns. And you know why they're buying them guns? Because the simple fact, they want to protect, they want to protect their material things, as far as the food, toilet paper, and whatever else that they hoarded. You know, all this hoarding that they did, instead of, you know, trying to look out for your neighbor, trying to help your neighbor out. Because what about when they run out? You know, because it's not like, we don't know how long this thing is going to last. We really don't. So the only thing I can say is, be cautious, be mindful, try to share. You know, because if just imagine if this went on for a year or two, and we're still in quarantine, and they're running out of food, they're running out of this because people are hoarding it, and then the fact the trucks may not be able to get in, you know, to deliver the food. Of course, people are going to start coming out, and they know, oh, John, he got all that stuff in his house, so I'm going down there when he goes to sleep. But see, John going to have one eye open and one eye on his pistol. So be very mindful of that. And, you know, because it's terrible that it's coming down to that, but that's just what's going on right now. But always remember this, and I can't say it enough, God is in control. God is in control, and we have to let him, you know, do his thing in his time, because we can't rush what God got, you know, what he's going to do. And only he knows when he's going to do it. So we have to be, grateful that we woke up this morning, because a lot of people haven't. I read on the internet, two sisters died 9 days apart from each other, 9 days from the coronavirus. One of the aides of the mayor in D.C. died from coronavirus. You know, you're not exempt. You're not exempt from this virus. So don't think because you are rich or whatever that it won't affect you. Because some of the movie stars and celebrities, Tom Hanks and his wife had it, Idris Albert. You know, so you're not exempt from it. Just be mindful and aware of it. And be cautious, because if you're not, you're going to go down. You're going to go down. So, you know, then they're telling people who are sick to stay home. But if you're an elderly person living alone and you call and say you're sick, they need to assist you. There's no need in telling an elderly sick person to stay home so they can die alone. Come on. And then they're talking about these tests that they are going to be given. Excuse me, they're supposed to be given or whatever. I don't know. But it's just something to think about. And like I said, always be forever grateful. And I'm not going to stop saying this throughout this conversation, that you woke up. Don't think that you're invincible or it can't happen to you, because I'm quite sure Tom Hanks wasn't thinking it was going to happen to him. He didn't know. He didn't know. Albert, he didn't know. You know, so don't think that it can't happen to you. And stop having these false sense of security with these gloves and these masks, because that doesn't work. Not if you're not doing it properly. You have to do it properly. And if you don't, then you can suffer the consequences. This is not a joke. But some people don't believe it. President Trump at one point was saying it was a hoax. And but see, President Trump has his own personal issues. he has his own mental issues. He's dealing with his own demons. So, you know, he's unstable. He is just, you know, he's a person who needs help. And I'm talking about mental health. So we had this epidemic that happened in 1918, and it asked the question, did the epidemic kill more lives than World War I? It may be hard to believe, but the answer is true. This epidemic did kill more than people that were killed in World War I. Let me see. World War I claimed an estimated 16 million lives. The influenza epidemic that swept the world in 1918 killed an estimated 50 million people. One-fifth of the world's population was attacked by the deadly virus. Within months, it had killed more people than any other illness in record history. The plague emerged in two phases. In late spring of 1918, the first phase, known as the three-day fever, appeared without warning. Few deaths were reported. Victims recovered after a few days. When the disease surfaced again that fall, it was far more severe. Scientists, doctors, and health officials could not identify the disease, which was spiking so fast and so viciously, eluding treatment and defying control. Some victims died within hours of their first symptoms. Others succumbed after a few days, their lungs filled with fluid, and they suffocated to death. The plague did not discriminate. It was rampant in urban and rural areas. From the densely populated East Coast to the remotest parts of Alaska, young adults, usually unaffected by these types of infectious diseases, were among the hardest hit groups, along with the elderly and young children. The flu afflicted over 25% of the United States population. In 1 year, the average life expectancy in the United States dropped by 12 years. It is an oddity of history that the influenza epidemic of 1918 has been overlooked in the teaching of American history. Documentation of the disease is ample, as shown in the records selected from the holdings of the National Archives, Regional Archives. Exhibiting these documents helps the epidemic take its rightful place as a major disaster in world history. Okay? Now, kill more people than a war, and rapidly, and it came in phases. So who's to say that this virus here may die down for a minute, but come back with a vengeance? So, you know, like I said, just be aware of that information, because history has a point of repeating itself. So, you know, that's just how that is. But, and it's scary and it's frightening to know that, but that wasn't put in the history book. I wonder why not. You know, I guess, you know, because they don't want to start a panic, and they don't want to do this, they don't want to do that. They wait till things get out of control, and then they're talking about it. You know, I understand, from my understanding, Trump knew about this in January, that this was what was going on over there in Japan, where this virus was created, whatever. He's calling it a Japanese virus, but it has no name. It has no ethnicity. So you can't say it's a Japanese virus. You know, I was just thinking that Trump is a virus himself. So, but I you know, he's just a person that, you know, like I said, he needs mental help. He needs it. He is one person that needs it. And if you don't get it soon, God help us. But like I said, God is in control. And he knows what he's doing. So we just have to, you know, bear with it. And, you know, try to live through this, what is going on. Get over it. And, you know, keep praying, like I said. And there are phases. There are three steps to prayers. First, you ask. You ask God, you shall receive. Then you seek. What you're seeking, you will find. And you knock, and the door shall be open. But you have to go through those three steps, because just praying a bunch of rhetoric, just saying a bunch of things that are, that, you know, God really is not going to even, well, I can't say that, but just as things that, I'm sorry, I'm trying to find something on here. So I'm getting ready to take a break, but I will be right back. And we'll continue this conversation.
Day we apart, I'll hunger for every wasted hour.
I'm gonna get you, look, I'm gonna get you, and I'm gonna make you love me. Oh, yes, I will. I'm gonna make you love me. You're listening to If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show at 109.9 Blog Talk Radio, coming to you live from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hosted by Gail St. Francis Johnson, formerly known as Miss Delicious. For questions or comments, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And remember, if life gives you lemons, make a martini, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Alrighty, this is your host, Gail St. Francis Johnson, and you're listening to If Life Gives You Lemons, Make a Martini Show. And I think all of us have been given a bunch of lemons at this point. And, you know, you can't always sit back and cry about spilt milk or get upset about things that you have no control over. So my suggestion to you is, if you got some lemons, make lemonade, make martini, make cookies, make cake, make pie. You know, these are metaphors, but, you know, don't sit around with your head hung down. You know, I'm just trying to make light of a troubled situation, but, you know, do something different. You know, like I said, my list is, you're more than welcome to do anything off the list that I called off, but, you know, I also called off to pray. And anytime you get over a hurdle or something, or anytime you're going through anything, even if you're not going through anything, show God some gratitude. You know, thank Him for waking you up this morning. Thank Him for, you know, letting you have food on your table. Thank Him for giving you the car to get back and forth to work. Thank Him for the things that He's done that are good, that He's blessed you with in your life. Don't always wait until you're going through something to call on God. Because trust and believe, we're always on His mind and in His heart. And if we start doing that, showing our appreciation and our gratitude, you know, we're going to be blessed, and we're going to be blessed abundantly. But you also would have to acknowledge God and also believe that He is who He is, because believing in a God and knowing God is two different things. You know, because people, they believed in Trump, but they didn't know Trump. Because look at all this turmoil and all this stuff He's caused. But we all know that God is a good God, always was, always will, and always has been. His laws have never changed, and they never will. So the things that we have to render to Caesar, that's what we are commanded to do, the things to God, to God. But if Caesar's laws come in conflict with God's laws, then we have to make that decision to go with God's laws. So I'm not going to be on here too much longer, but I did want to put out there that they have curfews going on in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And I think only if you're an essential worker and you have to have a note with you from your employee stating that you are an essential worker, which is, you know, doctors, nurses, you know, healthcare workers, and some places where you would get food, the stores, some restaurants, but they're not open to the public to come in. They're doing deliveries, and that's a little dangerous right there as well. But, and then, you know, you just have to be essential worker to be out at a certain time. In D.C., if you're caught out, there's a $5,000 fine plus or 90 days in jail. In Maryland, a $5,000 fine up to 1 year in jail. Virginia, $25,000 fine and up to 1 year in jail. I would have to take them days or years in jail, because there's no way that after I'm going through what I'm going through, then I'm going to have to pay $5,000 for being out, and I'm not an essential worker. But there you go. You've already been warned. So if you know that, don't put yourself in a predicament that you will regret it. Because if you know that, and you go out there and you get caught and you get a $5,000 fine, you have no one to blame but yourself. So, and I understand that where I'm in Fayetteville that it's a $1,000 fine, but I don't know. I haven't heard that yet. But if it is, I will not be in about because I'm not an essential worker anywhere for anybody. You know, so that's that. And something else that I wanted to speak of about this coronavirus. You know, it's just so sad that and these people were not old, but they did have some type of illnesses, and that's what compromised. If your immune system is already compromised by an illness, you know, that's what takes you out so quick. That's what kills you. It's not the virus itself. It's your immune system not being able to fight it off because of, you know, being compromised by some type of other illness or ailment. But churches are closing down. I understand. I don't know where this church was, but I was just on the internet and I was reading where this pastor had a service and they warned him to close it down and he continued. And I also was reading where they had an event at a church and a few of the members contracted the virus. I mean, the church is a building. The people are the church. You know, so you can do conference calls, you can do videos, you can do whatever, whatever to get together because the church that I am a member of, we're streaming our services on the Facebook page that we have. So that's a good thing right there because I had stopped, you know, going to church when I heard of the virus because I didn't want to be one of the members. Because they were still going, but they just had their last service this Sunday, last Sunday. And I didn't want to be one of the members that come up in the church and all of a sudden everybody gets sick. And, oh, that was Gail that brought the virus in here, whatever. You know, I'm not saying that that would be so, but you know how people want to point the finger or, you know, always want to put the blame on something other than themselves or take responsibility for things that they do. You know, so I just eliminated myself from the services on account of that. And, you know, but I still keep in touch with, you know, some of my church members and still have my Sunday service over the internet. And I pray and I show my gratitude. And I'm going to continue to pray to show my gratitude because God has allowed me to see another day of all the turmoils and different things that this world has been through. I've seen them and I've had my trials and tribulations, even though I will continuously go through them. But I'm getting to a point now. Sometimes I look forward to going through them because I know in the end I'm going to receive a reward for that. And, you know, the world's definitely changed. Everything's changed. We had our first black president, you know, and then we had our first, this president here, and as many presidents as I can remember in my lifetime, this president here, I've never seen anything like it. Even when at the inaugural, at the voting and all this other kind of stuff, fighting and cussing and calling people names, and I've never seen that, never. And I only voted one time in my life when I was 19, and I'm 70 now, so do the math. But I've never seen a president like this one. And I really hope that they don't put him in the history books because he's not worth it. He's not worth it. And if they do put him in the books, I hope they put the truth that he was one of the worst presidents that ever was a commander-in-chief of the United States. It was. He's arrogant. He has an attitude. His ego as big as his head. He's crazy, but guess what? We have to pray for him. We definitely have to pray for him. Because he needs it. He really needs prayer. So, with that being said, I'm getting ready to close down the show. I don't know if you guys listened to Steve Harvey, but in the afternoon, D.L. Hughley has a show that comes on, and he has this little segment that he calls the GED. And he said, he said a couple of things on, you know, things, some of those GEDs, well, a lot of them that I've heard that, you know, made sense to me. And I really wanted to play one this evening, but I was unable to download it. So maybe in my next show when I come back, I think I may be doing a show maybe this weekend, I can play that for you guys and you can actually, you know, form your own opinion or, you know, you can call in and give your response or, you know, whatever it is you have to say about this little segment that I'm going to download on my show for the next time I'm on. Like I said, it may be the weekend that I come back. But I just want to read my list one more time before I leave in case some of you guys didn't get it. Things to do while in quarantine, and these things to do if you're alone or if you have your family or, you know, you marry or whatever, you still can do these things. Number one, pray. Number two, if you are hobbyists, unfinished projects, work on them and complete the one project that is most important to you. Number three, pray. Number four, get your spring cleaning done. You can wash the windows if you never washed a window in your life. And I don't do windows, but I do have two storm doors. Two storm door windows. I will be washing them one day this week. Number five, pray. Number six, start a journal from the day you heard about the coronavirus and the first day of your quarantine. Because that can be very interesting. You know, I know a lot of people are going to be putting books out about it and this and that, but keep a diary of it. Number seven, pray. Number eight, read books. Any book you may have started and put it down because you couldn't finish because you're too busy working, too busy looking after the kids, or too busy doing this, doing that. Read a book. But don't forget the Bible is a book, and it does have the greatest author there ever was. Number nine, pray. Number 10, make group calls or FaceTime friends. You know, you always want to hear somebody's voice that maybe you hadn't talked to in a while or calling somebody to see how they're doing. Or, you know, just get on the phone and do silly things, make faces or whatever. Number 11, pray. Number 12, talk to yourself, especially if you're alone. Because if you have no one to talk to, if you talk to your friends all day on the phone or whatever, you still want, you know, to have a conversation, talk to yourself. There's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. There's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. Because number one, you're going to give yourself the best advice. And you can even answer yourself. Because when you're talking to yourself, I know you don't expect somebody else to answer. Number 13, pray. Number 14, go for a walk before the curfew. If you're not on it, if you're not an essential worker, you know, go for a walk. Walk up and down your street that you live on. Walk from one block to the next block. You know. Number 15, pray. Number 16, form new habits. I think 15 days or 21 days to form a habit. If you're doing something habitually, trust me, it'll turn into a habit. Or and maybe you can break some habits if you want to stop smoking. You know, now's the time to get that, to get in the habit of doing new things, better things. Number 17, pray. Number 18, make a daily list of things to do. Whether it's if you have a doctor's appointment or whatever it is, make your list for that particular day. Things you fulfill, cross them out. If you don't, do them tomorrow. Number 19, pray. Number 20, remember, God is in control, and this too shall pass. Number 21, refer to number 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 15, 17, and 19. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. So with that being said, if you're home alone, you know, you have to entertain yourself. Maybe you can catch up on some TV shows if you DVR them. That's what I'm doing. Catching up on a lot of shows that I DVR. When I was working, I do Lyft, but there's a lot of shows that I'm catching up on or watching Hulu or Netflix or, you know. But then you can call your friend up, and maybe y'all can watch a program together, you know, while they're on the other line and discuss it or whatever. It's just so many creative things that you can do during this time of quarantine. Or you may want to bake some cookies or bake or, you know, cook meals up for a week. Or it's just, you know, it's a lot of things that you can do during this quarantine. A lot of things. And, you know, like I said, I'll be back probably, I want to say maybe Friday or Saturday. When I do, I'll post it on my Facebook page, and you can, you know, go to my Facebook page and find out what I'm back on and tune in. Or, you know, just like I said, just don't be angry, don't be upset, don't stress yourself out because you're doing it for nothing. You can't change nothing about what's going on, so just sit back, let God take the wheel, let him do whatever it is, let him do his thing, and we'll all benefit from it. With that being said, if you're out and about, well, I know you're not out and about, but let me say this. Prayer changes things. I have testimony that I can attest prayer has changed my life and things in my life. And if you believe, you got to have faith and trust and love. God got your back. But if you don't, Lord, have mercy on you. I love each and every one of you. Wish nothing but the best for you. Remember to be cautious, be careful. Look out for your fellow neighbor, your friends, your family, your relatives. Because at this point in time, we all need each other. So if you got a beef with somebody, squash it. It's not the time to have a beef. It's not the time to be angry. It's not the time to fuss and fight. This is a time for us to pull together, look out for each other, love one another, and just try to make it through. And just be careful, because I'm going to say this. If you're not careful, you may be out there and you may get the virus and it may kill you. And I really like talking to you, not about you. I like seeing you, not viewing you. Everybody have a wonderful evening. remember, prayer works. Keep praying. And if it don't happen tomorrow or the next day, keep on praying. It's going to happen in God's time, not your time, not my time, but in God's time. And trust and believe it'll be right on time. Everybody have a beautiful evening. Love you guys. Good night.
You just listened to the number one radio station on the internet, Delicious Talk Radio. Thank you and good night.